Okay, Shay Bet, Saif Aleph. That's where we're holding. One last thing on the last Siman, page before, and Zayin, where it says, Mavatlin v'chozrin u'mavatlin, in case I misspoke or was unclear, if none of the, let's say you had four people and none of them made an Eruv, each one is Mavatl, each one has to be mevatel to only one person. They can't be, or to a group that made an eruv. Like if you had four people and two of them didn't make an eruv, then the other two people can't give it to the two who didn't make an eruv. Just if you listen again yesterday, when you mevatel yourself, it has to be that you can have 10 people and none of them made an eruv, but they all have to make their bittel to one person or one group that had an eruv. You can't do a bittel to two people who don't have an eruv together, and you can't do one and then the other, because it just the other two are always osar on each other and it's never chal. It doesn't, just the mechanism, the way Chazal made it, doesn't work. So anyways, okay, Shin Pei Bet Aleph. Now, the last siman was a little bit less halacha lamaisa. This doesn't usually come up. This is more, and a little more simple. Anytime you have an eruv, so, right, we learned the first thing is you need to make sure you have four walls. It's enclosed. And the next thing you have to worry about is that there's Jews over there. And once you have more than one Jew living there, or in other words, more than one household of Jews, so then, they're osar on each other unless you make an eruve chatzeros, right? That's from Shlomo HaMelech. And then, if you want to, now if there's a non-Jew living there, that's one other thing to worry about. So let's read. Hadar im akum, if a person lives with a non-Jew and using the same chatzer, or same apartment building for that matter, eino osar alav. Just that you, if you are a single guy and you live with only non-Jews in your building, or the homes around one chatzer are all non-Jews, that's not a problem. You don't have to make an eruv, and you don't have to worry about it. You can carry from your house to the chatzer and into his house, no problem. Ad shehiyu shnei Yisraelim darim bishnei batim, until you have at least two Jews living there in two different homes, and then that's when it becomes an issue. And when they're osrim ze al ze, if the two Jews make it usr to carry into the chatzer without an eruve chatzeros, once that's established, then az akum oser aleim. The way the Chazal made it, then only then do you have an issue that you have to now take into account how to deal with the non-Jews. Again, the reason for all this is, we're going to see here. Let me finish reading and then we'll say the reason. V'eino mo'il shi'avata la'akum reshuso. Now, you don't make an eruv with the non-Jew. You don't tell the non-Jew to give a piece of bread. That doesn't do anything. You don't make bread and have in mind if you're going to buy the matzahs, whatever you're going to use, and have in mind that that includes the non-Jews. It doesn't do anything. And it doesn't help to have the non-Jew to be mevatel reshuso, to say, it's not my property, you can use it. Elat sarich, the din is, it must be exactly like so. Tsarich shiaskiru mimenu. In the non-Jew, you'll have to pay the non-Jew to use his portion of his rights to use the chatzar or his house, whatever you want to use to carry into. Okay. Now, why is it if there's Jews there, and if it's a single Jew among non-Jews? Because Chazal were not gozer for something that was so uncommon. It was uncommon that a Jew would want to live only among non-Jews. Also because they were afraid that non-Jews often, and especially in those days, were more chashud for shvichas damim, for murder. And so it was considered dangerous. I mean, most of us wouldn't want to live only among non-Jews either, but that's, anyway, so that's not what Chazal, so that was very uncommon and wouldn't happen. Now, once you're living with Jews, so some people might be happy to live with some non-Jews as well. However, Chazal did not want that. We don't want to be mixed too close to non-Jews. We can learn from them. I mean, the expression is given from Chazal is because you might learn from them. I mean, there's also issues of chasness, but we didn't want them to be too close. Now, so they made it so that you're obligated to rent out land. That would put a little of a distance, and this whole concept of going to a non-Jew to rent from them would be uncomfortable and difficult. And many times the non-Jews would refuse to rent out the land. Because they'd be afraid, the Gemara explains in Erevin, because they would be afraid. They might be afraid, they're gonna not allow it, and they might say, what do you mean? If I rent out the land, the next thing I know, you're gonna start telling the city that it's yours, and I gave it to you forever. So a lot of non-Jews are gonna be skeptical and afraid you might be stealing their property, and they're gonna say no. And then the Jews are gonna be forced to move. And that's exactly what Chazal wanted you to do. Chazal did not want you to live with so close to the non-Jews. And we hold that you could even do a schiros re'ua, Chazal say, or a week lending. And we're going to see a couple examples. And so therefore, even though there's going to be nothing in writing, they're also afraid of witchcraft, and who knows what the Jews are doing, and we always know the Jew might want to Jew you, and whatever, etc. So therefore, it would be difficult for them to agree even. And that's exactly what Chazal wanted. Okay, now, let's read in, the Haggah. Yisrael shehiskir ohishel beito le'ene Yehudi eno oser alav. If a Jew rents out his, let's say the Jew owns the house, and then he rents it out or lends it to a non-Jew, if that's the only non-Jew there in the chatzer, you don't have to pay him for his rights to use the land for Shabbos. You just make your erev with the Jew, and you don't have to worry about renting the land to the non-Jew. The lo hiskir o hishilo beito kadeshia sar alav. Because a person wouldn't rent out his field, his land, or his house, and then end up losing out, and now he's not allowed to carry. It's like mimela just built into the system, and therefore it's not a problem. Another reason given is because the Rashba says, but it's very uncommon for someone to want to for this to happen, and therefore because Chazal weren't gozer in such a case. The Grad points out that this only works that he's osir alav if you're allowed to kick out the non-Jew whenever you want to. So normally when people rent out these days, it's more of this contract, and you can't just kick someone out without even due process. Probably even if there's no contract, the government doesn't let you just kick someone out on the whim's notice. I'm not sure. But anyways, the point is, the Gra says that if the non-Jew can't be kicked out immediately, then you actually still do need to rent from him. Okay. Continue in the Ramah. Aval im habayit shel ein yehudi, and if the house belongs to a non-Jew originally. Usacharo Yisrael mimenu. And then a Jew rents out the house or the apartment from a non-Jew. Then a Yehudi dar b'bayit imo, and then the non-Jew also lives in one of the other houses, in the apartment building. Ein sechirut habayit mo'il yin sechirut ha'eruv. When you rent out your house or your apartment, it's not enough. Not only are you renting that for yourself to live in, you still have to then go again if there's Jews and non-Jews there. Then you have to go to the non-Jew and rent out specifically to use the common area from him so that you can carry. Yisrael shehishil ohiskir bayit lechaveru b'makom shedarim einam yehudim. Now a Jew owns two apartments, and then he rents out one to another Jew. So af al pi sheyesh lo tfisa b'bayit, even though we learned that when you have an owner of two homes and he rents out one of them and he has some of his property in that home, so we learn when it's called tfisas yad or tfisa babayit, and therefore you don't have to make an erev with that person. Lo mahani, it doesn't help for the purposes of the non-Jew, because even though once you have two Jews living there, you're both chayav and an erev. But there's a patur, this is how the Ramah is learning it, but there's a patur now that since he has tfisa yad, it's like he made an eruv. And therefore, but since the etzem, there's still a din, you have to make an eruv chatzeros, now there's a goy living there, you have to rent out land. But it's a machlokas achronim, the Gra argues, and says, that once the two Jews don't have to make an Eruv Chatzeros practically, then you no longer have to, they're not Osrim Zezeh, and they don't have to rent out one from another. Okay. If there's two Jews and one rents it out to the other and he has Tfisas Yad, since he has Tfisas Yad in the other house, they don't have to make an Erev Chatzeros, then you don't have to rent out from the Goy. The Ramah says you have to, but many Achronim in the Gra say you don't have to. But we'll leave it as a Machloket. Well, in an apartment building, so if the landlord is Jewish, he owns the whole building and he rents out every apartment, but he has a refrigerator or furniture in each apartment. It's a furnished apartment or a partially furnished apartment. So then it's called Tfisas Yad, and you do not need to make an Erev. According to the Ramah, if there's non-Jews there, then you would have to rent out from the non-Jews. That's correct. So you can ask your Rav what to do. Okay. Interesting question. What do you do first? Do you do Erev Chatzeros first, or do you run from the Goy first? So it's a bit of a machloket, but the Mishnah Berurah is pretty clear. It even makes it sound like the Kli Alma. What should you do first? First rent from the non-Jew, and then make your Erev Chatzeros. One of the reasons is because if you make the Erev Chatzeros first, you're supposed to say a bracha on Erev Chatzeros. You don't know if the non-Jew is going to agree. So you don't make a bracha levatala. That's one of his reasons. But anyways, but Bediyevid agrees that if you make the Erev first with the Jews, you can still rent it afterwards and it's still fine. Okay. Bet. Im bitu Yisraelim reshutam le'echad mehem kedei shiyechashev ki yechidi eitzel ha'en yehudi eino moyo. Okay. Now, let's say you have, I don't know, four Jews and a goy. So the four Jews need to make an Erev Chatzeros, and then they should rent from the goy, right? That's the normal case. But here, they're having trouble, the goy doesn't want to rent it out, or they don't want to go to him. So they want to just be mevatel all their rishus to one Jew, and make it as if there's only one Jew who lives there, and they're all his guests. And then we learned, if there's only one Jew, then, and one goy, you don't have to make, there's no Erev Chatzeros, so then you don't have to do that, and then once there's no Erev Chatzeros, you don't have to make rents from the non-Jew. Halacha says, Eino Moyo, that doesn't work, because Lamaisa, you're four people and four homes, and even though you got out of it, there's still Chal the Chiyuv that you have to do that. Okay. Gimel. I think that's that. Okay. Gimel. Im ein li eino Yehudi Jesus regel ali Yisraelim eino osa. Now, let's say the non-Jew doesn't share that chatzer or that apartment building, and he doesn't have to walk through your apartment building, he's not going to be osa. See the example, and it'll be a little more clear. Kigon. Shtei chatzeros, you have two apartments, two chatzeros next to each other. Up to chatzer lezo, and they're open. So you could combine or not combine. And they didn't combine. And neither one of them has to walk through the other chatzer. In other words, you have two chatzeros next to each other, and there's an opening to the houses on one end, and on the other end it's open to the street. They can just leave to the street on their own without bothering going into their neighbor's yard. That's usually how we build things. So therefore, that's called Ein Jesus Regel, and therefore it's not going to make a problem. They're just separate chatzeros neighbors, no problem. And in one chatzer you have the non-Jew, and in the other chatzer you have a bunch of Jews. No problem. So then, you're allowed to, each one's its own separate entity, it's two chatzeres next to each other, the Jews made their own Eruv in their one chatzer, and then the non-Jew, he's not Oser on them, he lives in a different chatzer. And you can even carry from chatzer to chatzer, because I don't think so. That's a good question. I don't, not sure. I don't think you can carry from the Jew's house to his chatzer, but I can't say for sure. But you think you can? All right. So the guys in the group think you can. So I don't know. We'll, if you can show me later. But certainly from chatzer to chatzer, because we say they're all one chatzer.
Okay. Yeah, the Mishnah says the parish.
Oh, yeah? Okay, so the Mishnah verse says the parish.
Without an Arab,
correct. But he's not part of them. The Mishnah Berurah says you can go. Okay, fine. You're right. So the Mishnah Berurah says you can take even from your house. Very good. And into him. Because he was never Asr you. And you don't have, and there's no din of Erev Chatzeros. That's a little bit of a different, you have to make that chil. Very good. Okay. Thank you. Okay, let's go on. Dalit. Hasocher min ha'enu Yehudi stam. Mo'il. Okay? If you just rent from a goy, and you just tell him, I just want to rent, you know, your land, or the shared area, or whatever it is, so, and that's it. You don't have to explain, you don't have to make any... Vein sarich lafarish lo shehu ahatir tiltu. You don't have to tell him it's because of Hilchos Shabbos. Vein sarich lichtov shum k'tiva al eschiros. And you don't have to write it anything down. It could be totally verbal, and that's fine. Like we mentioned before, this is more symbolic than anything else. And you don't, it's not a proper schirut, you're not selling anything, and it's not, okay.
So just money has to transfer?
Money does have to transfer. Or something instead of money. It could be food, it could be anything. It could be, we're going about to see. Hey. So kri Yehudi, afilu bepachos mishava pruta. It could be even less than a shava pruta. It just has to be something. Mom or something. Umutar, right? And especially since we say especially by non-Jews, they hold that a shava pruta, less than a shava pruta is like, as 100% considered a kinyan. It's real money. Umutar, for Jews, I guess it's not enough to be considered real money. Umutar li skor mimenu. And for, you're allowed to rent from him, b'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos, you're allowed to do this. Right? Just like you're allowed to do bittul before or during Shabbos, you're allowed to rent also. You just, not with anything muksa, but you can, with anything that you can move or eat, that's okay. Okay. Now also, when you rent out the land from the non-Jew, just as a side point, the Gemara points out, when you rent out the land from the non-Jew, you're not like taking over his portion of the land. You can't now start just filling up the whole yard with, it says chairs or whatever you want to fill it up with, and now he can't even use it anymore because you just like totally took it over. You're not doing a real, real schirut. You're just, it's more symbolic than anything else. Okay. Vav, I think. Okay, Vav. Okay. Right. But if whatever it's worth, right, we said, less than Shavu Pruta is not going to work for a Jew whenever it's relevant. Vav. Kol zaman she'en ha'ena Yehudi chozer bo mo'il eschirus. If you just make a deal with the non-Jew and you say, I'm renting out your land, and you don't specify a time limit, then it works forever. It doesn't end. Afil izman meruba, for a long time. Unless, of course, he wants to go back. So then the Rama says, if he wants to end it, he can, since he didn't make a specific time, he could also end it whenever he wants. But there's a tonight. Ve'enu yachol achzor mischirato ad shiachzir hadamim. But you can't go back, the non-Jew can't go back and say, I'm undoing this schirut, and now makes it usher for you to carry, until he returns the money. That's if he just did it stum. If there was a specific time to when it ends, so then it ends when that time is up. Okay. Right. And just to point out, there's a machlok at Archonim. Some say the non-Jew could end it whenever, since nothing was specified. The non-Jew could actually end it. It's against this from the Beis Yosef, the Rama. At the end, that some say that he could, the non-Jew can take back and say, you know what? You used it for last Shabbos, but that's it. You know, the rental's over, and he doesn't have to return anything. So it's best to, what's it called? Yeah, to be machma. Okay. But machlokas, tough. Zayin. Im sakru me'ein Yehudi lizman yedua. Now, what if you specify it's for a specific time? I don't know, for 1 month, for 1 year, whatever you specify. So the time is up, time is up. Of course you have to make a new schirut. Here's a little bit of a chiddush. You also have to do the Eruv Tavshilin again with the bracha, because it ended. The Ein Eruv Rishon Chozer V'Neor. It doesn't restart. Once it's over, it's over. Right. Okay. Okay. Let's go on. Just an interesting case, perhaps, if a person passes away. So then, if it's Lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah says, right, he also points out, you can't, a non-Jew, if you specify a time and you pay for it, then the non-Jew can't go back. That's what they specify the time. So it works, okay, so sometimes there's an advantage to specify a time.
You can say something like 100 years.
If you could say 100 years, and then for 100 years they can't go back. They're done. So there's a big advantage to specify a time. And if you don't specify a time, he says, and a person passes away and the Yoresh takes over, then you have to do it again. But if you didn't specify a time, then it works forever. And, okay. Chet. I think that's where we are. Im sachru min Yehudi lizman yedua. You specify a time. When you rent it out. Ubetoch hazman hisker en Yehudi lidirato le'acher dai mischirut harishon. You know, so you make a deal, and you rent it out, and now he wants to rent out the house to somebody else. You don't have to rent it again from the new guy. He rented it to you first. That's the din. It works, and that's it. You can't take that away anymore. That's if you set aside a time. And Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah says also if you sell it, the same thing. You still have those rights even if he sells it. There's some are machmer and say once you sell it, it's over. Okay. Tet. Chamisha hadarim b'chatzar. 5 people live in a chatzar. Echad socher me'en Yehudi b'shvil kulam. So, you don't need, let's say there's 5 Jews and 1 non-Jew. You don't need all 5 Jews to go to the non-Jew and rent it out. You could just have any one of them go to him and rent it out. And you don't even have to, and you're doing it for everybody, and you don't even have to do it through a shaliach. Like you don't have to, like when you're mezakeh, the matzahs or the eruv for everybody else, you're becoming like a shaliach and you have to have someone else pick it up. For this, you don't have to. You just need one Jew to do it on behalf of everybody, but it doesn't have to be like a shaliach for everybody else. I don't even think you have to have anybody else in mind. It just works for everybody automatically.
Does he have to explain that it's for all the Jews that live in
there? No, you don't have to explain it's for everybody else, as far as I understand. You just do it for yourself, and that works for everybody. Okay. Good. Im sachru mimenu bal korcho. Now, if you rent it out against his will, eno mo'il. You can't go and say, I don't want to hear about it, I'm not interested. You can't just throw him $1 or $100 and say, I'm renting it from you, I don't care what you say. And you throw it on the table in his hand, his jacket. It doesn't work. Eino mo'il, doesn't work. Afal pi shehiya regila harskir mikodem. Even if you always used to rent from him, I don't know, for business purposes, or you used to do an eruv with him in the past, he changed his mind, you're not allowed to do it against his will. However, yet aleph aval mi ishto o mi schiro ulekito sochrim afal pi shehu mocha. You can go to any one of his employees. Right? So if you're looking for I'm just going to mention, so if you're looking for a public place, you see, you're not looking for one specific, or the government, or you're not looking for one specific person. There's no magic owner that you need to find. You can go to his wife, or anybody that he hires, who works in his, in his property. Anybody who works in his property, or his wife, you can go to them, and get them to agree. And you can have 1,000 employees. You can go to any one of the employees and get him to agree. And then it works, even if the owner is screaming, don't do it. Sechiru lekito shabal habayit, and even an employee of an employee, hu kischir bal habayit atzmo. and it works.
Because they have a right to be there.
They have a right to be there and to use it. Yudbet. Im eino rotze lahaskir yitkarev lo echa mibnei achatzer at sheyashi lo reshuto shehe lo reshut laniach bo shum davar. So, another way out. Okay, the non-Jew doesn't want to, right? We mentioned why he might not want to. So then, you get one of the guys to be a little fuzzy, talk to him and say, you know, can I use part of your property to leave my stuff in there and to put something there? And he lets him. So then, this Jew becomes alike kischiro ulakito. He's just borrowing a little place of his land to use, and that's good enough. You just need a Jew to be able to use the non-Jew's property, and then it works. Umaskir shalomida to ena Yehudi, and then he rents it out to the other Jews. Okay, it's a question if he also has to participate in the eruv or not, but you can just get another Jew to use his property, and then he's good enough. V'yesh omrim she'enu tzarich lahaskir, and some say it, you don't even have to pay this Jew who got the rights to borrow, because you do have to pay the ishto or schiro lakito, one of those, an employee. You have to rent it out and pay them. But this person who's borrowing, who's actually using it, some say you don't even have to pay to him. But he just gives money or bread towards the Eruv Chatzeros, and that's good enough. And some say if he doesn't even live there, he doesn't even have to give anything. Everyone else who lives there does the Eruv Chatzeros, and he just gives them Rashus without any money or without renting. Okay, so that's not Lechatchila the Halacha, but that is a possible option. Gimel, maybe we stop. Let me just read a Gimel. Imicha lo makom habayit shemash ilo kevan she'eno kishlucho b'chol habayit lo mahani. So if the non-Jew tells him that you only get this specific area, and that's the only place you can keep it there, so then he's not really underneath like a shliach for the whole house, the non-Jew tells him, you have to stick to this one little corner, and that's the only place you can keep it, then it's not good enough. All right.
Is there a chilek between bayit and chatzer, or is it between yichid and lo yichid?
Not that I'm aware of.